Father, thank you for a people who love you. Lord, thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ who care about each other, who pray one for another. Lord, it's such a precious experience to invest our lives among people who love one another. Thank you for that. Father, I pray for Judy this morning. I pray you come close to her. I pray you'll touch her, Father. I pray, Father, that you will give her a peace in these days. Father, there are so many that have received reports from doctors over the last several weeks. Father, I pray for them as well. And Father, thank you for those who have been gifted as doctors and nurses, Father, but we rely on you for the healing that you'll bring. Now, Father, as we turn our hearts to you this morning, I pray you'll speak to us from your word. I pray, Father, that you will help us to listen as opposed to reaching conclusions before you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's turn over to the book of James. We're going to begin chapter 5 this morning. Dear sister asked me this morning, we're in chapter 5. Have you noticed that's the last chapter? Well, I did, okay. And want to know where we were going from there. And my leading at this point, that I was asking the same questions over the last couple of weeks of the Lord. And instead of going immediately to another book of the Bible, I want to carve out about, I don't know, 4, 6, 8 weeks, whatever it may be. And I want us to revisit the soon coming of Jesus Christ. That is something that you can take for granted or just ignore. And so I want to remind us over that period of time, whatever it may be. And then we'll, by that time, know the next book that we're going to look at in our study each week. So let's look at James chapter 5 this morning. And I'll begin reading in verse 1 and we'll read through verse 6. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded. And their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in these last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned. You have murdered the righteous person, and he does not resist you. Gulp. Woe unto you, rich man or rich woman. I know about 186 days ago, we dealt with finances and money. And I recall several of you were convicted and offended. And some of you even voiced that to me. But don't blame me. Blame the Holy Spirit, for this morning, He again brings us to this subject of money and finances. He again reminds us of the peril that we face if the focus of our life is on what we possess. Proverbs 11:28 says, "Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish." Proverbs 28:20, "A faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished." Matthew 19:23-24, "Truly, I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven." Again, I tell you, Jesus is speaking here, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Let me pause there just a minute. I've heard this verse abused as much as any other, okay? And I've heard the folks say, well, what that really means is that around the city of Jerusalem, there's a wall. And in that wall, there is this gate, and it's about this high. And a camel can go through it, but he has to get on his knees to crawl through. Folks, that's fable. There is no evidence in Scripture to anywhere here hint to that. "Again, I tell you," Jesus said, "it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle." It's a real camel, folks, and it's a real needle. What he's saying there, that's an impossibility for a rich person that we're going to look at here in just a second and define, for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's an impossibility. Luke 6:24. "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation." Now that word consolation means comfort. You've experienced your comfort in this life because of the wealth that you've gained. 1 Timothy 6:9-10. "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, for the love of money is the root of all evil." James 5:1. "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you." And Luke 12:15, "One's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Would you say that this is something that is in the front of God's mind? Would you think that he's serious about how we look at wealth and riches? I think you can answer yes to that. God is very concerned because that wealth, those riches, are idols in our lives. "And thou shalt have no other gods before me," he said. And so you may not worship a little idol of some sort. You may not worship something that you've crafted of your own hands and you worship that. Folks, God is very concerned about how we look at the wealth that we have been given. So we're going to ask three questions this morning. The first one is, who is a rich person? Who is a rich person? Then we're going to look at what happens to a rich person and their wealth. And then finally, where are you and I going to go from here as we look at this? So let's begin, first of all, with that first question. Who is a rich person? Being rich is not a number. It's an attitude. Let me say that again. Being rich is not a number. You know, if you have $1 million or maybe $5 or $6 million or you put any number, it's not a number, folks. Being rich is an attitude. The attitude that you and I have to that which we have. A rich person prides themselves in what they possess. And they do so instead of priding themselves in who they are in Christ. Every person with a little wealth is a rich person. If their focus is on what they have and what they plan to have. But I want you to focus with me this morning on a truly rich person. A person who is truly rich. A truly rich person is revealed by the question. Ask yourself this, is there anything that I would not give up this morning if God asked me to? If there is, then you are a rich person, you're not a truly rich person. And we're going to find out the demise of those who would say, no, I'm not going to give this up. I earned this. I worked for this. I'm not giving this up. A truly rich person answers, no, there is nothing that I would not give up if God asked me to. A truly rich person lives the abundant life all of the time. It's not a good day, bad day kind of thing. A truly rich person lives the abundant life. And the abundant life is all that you need and more to give. That's the abundant life. A truly rich person lives the abundant life. A truly rich person focuses on the kingdom's priorities. The kingdom's priorities, not their priorities. You know those lists that some people make that I want to do this by the time I'm 30 or I want to have that. You know, I want to go there and I want to have this over there and all those kind of things. Folks, that's the planning of a rich person, not a truly rich person. A truly rich person focuses on God's kingdom, His literal rule and reign over their lives. They focus on loving God and loving others. They focus on advancing His kingdom, not theirs. They do not focus on money and possessions. A truly rich person does not focus on money and possessions. A truly rich person sees God as their source, not their job, not their investments, not the connections that they have made out in the world. That's a rich person. A truly rich person focuses on none of that. And you never really know how much a truly rich person has. Because truly rich people are too busy talking about the one who gave them life eternal. A truly rich person can lose everything except the Lord, and they're still rich. That's a beautiful thing. I've bumped into some of those folks through the years. And a person that just was blessed of God. And they had gained a lot. They had property and all those kind of things. And I bumped into a few of those folks who just lost it all overnight. And you know what? They didn't change. Now, folks, that's a stiff test. If you got home today from church and you had a phone call and the person on the other end of the line, whoever it was, whatever connection, informed you that you had lost everything that you possess of this world's good, how would you handle it? If you're a truly rich person, you would say, God knows, praise God, Lord, I move on with you. You say that people don't do that. I promise you this, a truly rich person does and will. Is there anything that you would not give up this morning if he asked you to? That's where we are. Because if there is something that you would not give up, that's the God of your life. That's the idol that's holding you from knowing Him in the way that He wants to know you. A truly rich person spends little time dwelling on the things of this world. Their time is spent on kingdom priorities. A truly rich person invests in the kingdom more than they invest in this world. Because they know well that the Scripture says, lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Is what you are investing your life in, does it have eternal value? Is it going to last for eternity? Think about that. Is what you're investing your life in, Does it have eternal value? There is nothing a truly rich person would not give up if the Lord asked them to. And folks, when He does come in our lives and He takes something away that is very precious to us, what is our response at that time? Well, I pray that you've dealt with these issues already. I pray that you've nailed it down. I pray that's not something you're saying, well, I don't know, we'll have to see. A truly rich person is controlled by the Lord, not by creditors. Ouch. A truly rich person lives by Romans 13:8. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Now I know that scratches, doesn't it? That's one of those things that kind of gets up against us. Because rubbing in our back pocket or our pocketbooks, whatever the case may be, is that little credit card. Do you have a balance on it? That you're paying 20-some interest a month on that? I'm just asking. Do you think that fits in where he says, owe no one anything? You can run the list of any debts that you may have. That's up to you and the Lord. But I want you to know Romans 13 is in God's inspired and errant word. You say, well, what does that really mean in the original language, in the Greek? I thought you might ask. Here's what it says. Do not keep owing anyone anything. That's literally what it means. Do not keep owing anyone anything. Pay your debts on time, early if possible. Practice saving for as opposed to borrowing more. Avoid borrowing money on anything that depreciates in value. 186 days ago, we touched on those. They got a little itchy with some of you. Folks, if we're a follower of Christ, we follow what he says. And many of the things that he says to us so we don't suffer the pain that comes from what we're doing. That's what it comes down to. Second question this morning. What happens to a rich person and their wealth? Not a truly rich person. A rich person. There's a difference. I hope you pick that up. What happens to a rich person and their wealth? You've heard this, most of you, I'm sure. But did you ever see a U-Haul following a hearse to the cemetery? You can't take it with you. Everything that you're investing your life in, if it is temporal as far as its valuation, you're going to lose it. You may have, you fill in the blank, whatever it is. I promise you this. The day that medical person says, I'm sorry, but she's gone. You have nothing that you poured your life into in this world of a tangible nature. Remember, being rich is an attitude, not an amount. I know where your minds are going. You're saying, well, I'm not like so-and-so, and you're looking down the chairs, you know, at somebody, and, you know, they have this and all this, that, and the other. And no, folks, being rich is an attitude. It is not an amount. It is the focus on the fact that you possess it. Folks, everything that you and I have were given to us by our Heavenly Father. Will you go there? And that'll get rid of that pride that wells up in us. Say, look what I've done. When you strike up a conversation with a person, do you quickly turn it to your affairs and how you're prospering and how successful you're becoming? Do you go that direction? Or does somebody, you know, do they poke on you a little bit wanting to know some of your personal financial information? And do you use that as an invitation to show off? Folks, I live in this world too. I'm maybe out of flesh and blood also. I know the temptations that are there. A rich person's God is their wealth. And according to our passage, all rich people will face miseries now as well as throughout eternity. Did you catch what was being said there in these verses in James? Did you follow along there? Verse 2, your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. The Holy Spirit there is talking to a person who was rich. Your riches have rotted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasures in the last days. But while you were here, verse 4 says, you withheld the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, and you kept back by fraud. In other words, you agreed to pay them so much, but when it came time to settle up, you shorted them a little bit or a lot. Folks, rich people have a God, and they worship that God, and that they will preserve that God at any expense. They will cheat. They will misrepresent. And for some reason, they find a lot of glee in that. But according to our passage, all rich people will face miseries now. But also they will be miserable throughout eternity because they are not in the presence of Jehovah God. Those who are rich are lost. They have two outcomes, verses 2 through 6 that I read through there. The two outcomes that a rich person is going to face, they will be miserable in this life. You say, well, if you got all the money you want, how could you be miserable? Have you ever met these folks? They're just all crotchety and dried up. And they don't have any zeal in life. And they're afraid somebody's going to sneak in and cheat them or something. They're miserable creatures. There is misery now, but when they die, they're going to be weeping and howling, this passage says. Why would you want to be a rich person? And remember, though, you may have $5 in your pocket this morning, and if that's your focus, you're a rich person. Weeping and howling is the language of hell. Rich people will weep and howl because their riches have rotted. Their fine clothes, it says, are eaten by moths. And their gold and silver is corroded. All that a person poured their life into is just rotting in a heap or being fought over by people that thought they deserved to be an heir to that fortune. All rich people have to look forward to is misery in this life and their flesh being eaten by fire when they die. Not a pleasant outcome, is it? Not something that you'd want to gravitate to. then folks, why do we have such a hard time resisting the temptation to be rich? That's the question that's being posed here. Why would you ever want to be that? Why would your focus be on money and possessions? Because rich people are addicted to their wealth. There are people that are addicted to heroin, crack cocaine, and all other substances. But I want you to know that of all of those addicts, there are far more addicts who are addicted to wealth, trying to get it, trying to keep it. Wealth that they think they've gained. And in most cases, they have gained it by defrauding, the scripture says, and cheating those who serve them and work for them. If you're a business owner this morning, and we have a number of you in here who are, let me challenge you. Treat those who give you their lives in serving you at your business or whatever they work for. Honor them. And never defraud them. In fact, if it comes down to a place where you're going to suffer loss, make sure that they prosper, not you, and you take the loss. You say, well, you're not a businessman. I'm not, okay? But I've worked for people. And I've worked for people who live that way. It was a short month. The income just wasn't there from the sales or whatever it is. But they took care of the people that worked for them. I challenge you, if you're a business man or woman this morning, to treat those that work for you as you would treat a member of your family. And don't try to short them. And while I'm there, those of you who work for somebody else, you have a boss, go the extra mile. Stay over after the time to go home if there's need for you to do that. I promise you this, that it will be a testimony to your boss. And if they're not a follower of Christ, they may be one because of the way that you serve them as the employee. The cries of those abused by the rich reach the ears of God, our passage tells us today. And when they reach the ears of God, God responds. How? I don't know. But it just says that he responds. But being rich is a situation that God despises, because wealth is that person's God. And one of his commands, again, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that's not talking about graven images in the Philippines or something like that. That's talking about anything that comes before God in your life. And certainly money can do that. James says, you, the rich, have lived in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts that are filled with yourself and not with the Lord. The rich have condemned and murdered the righteous, who are unable to resist or fight back. But if that is your plight this morning, if you are a victim to some powerful individual, maybe it's a boss, I don't know who it may be, but if you are a follower of Christ, and you are a victim of a person like James is describing, you can't resist, you can't fight back, but you have a God that is your friend, a friend of the powerless, and you trust him, you wait on him, and he will come and rescue you. Finally, this morning, where are you and I going to go from here? This has been pretty straightforward. I didn't mean to beat around the bushes. I meant to echo what James is saying. So what is going to change in our lives this morning, this group of a few hundred people in this room? Well, hopefully the first thing that you would commit this morning is, I'm not going to be a rich person. That needs to be number one. Don't long to be a rich person if you're not a rich person. If you're not a rich person, be satisfied in not being a rich person. And again, wealth is not a number, it's an attitude. Wealth is not a number, it's an attitude. Is there anything that you would not give up this morning if God asked you to? That's the key. Of all that you have, all that you possess, all that you've worked for, is there anything that you would not give up this morning if he asked you to? If there is something, then you're a rich person. That's what you're hanging on to. Rethink your financial concerns in light of God's will and his word. Rethink those financial concerns not according to your lust and desires, but according to his will. Boy, is this un-American or what? Huh? Microanalyze how you spend God's money. And you say, well, God gets his money. No, no. All of your money is his money. If you're the person we're describing this morning. Microanalyze how you spend God's money, which is everything that you possess. If you're a follower of Christ, it belongs to him. And I know some of you are getting a little bit testy at this point, and you're saying, well, I tithe. Hold on. Do you know what it means to say you tithe? It means that you're not robbing God. Yeah. You say, where do you get that? The scripture says, where have you robbed me? You have robbed me in your tithes and offerings. So if you are tithing, you're just not robbing God. Because you have the mentality that this is a 90-10 split. I give him 10%, I keep the 90. And if I give him the 10, I can use the 90 anywhere. No, 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 folks. It is all his. It is all his. Would you be satisfied if God just gave you 10% and kept the 90 to do with what he wanted? No, we'd scream and holler. But folks, if we come to the place where we say, Lord, it's all yours. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you, in fact, for the need that you brought into my life, because I know as a follower of yours, you're going to meet my every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Begin then by agreeing that all wealth belongs to God, especially that which he's given you. Be serious and obedient to him concerning every dollar that comes into your possession. Remember the talent, the parable of the talents that Jesus taught in Matthew 25, 14 through 30. I won't go through it in detail this morning. But a very rich man, went on a journey. And a journey in those days was not a weekend down to wherever. He would be gone for years. And so this rich man went on a journey, and he had three servants. And he called them to himself. And he gave one of the servants 5 talents. He gave another servant 2 talents. And he gave the third servant 1 talent. Now, talents is, I don't have any talents in my pocket, do you? And so I thought, well, how much is a talent? 1 talent was one man's wages for 20 years. That's a chunk. That's what he gave these three servants. 1 5, 1 3, and 1 1. The master came home. And when he returned, he called his servants to him. Now, he's been gone for a length of time, an investment period, if you will. And so he called the first one that he had given 5 talents to. And the guy said, Lord, you gave me 5 talents. I've given you back 10. What did the master say to him? Well done. Do you hear the Lord saying that in your life often? Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. The next guy that had been given 2 talents, he comes up and he says, you gave me 2 talents, master, and I want to give you 4 back. Do you notice something here? He said to the 2-talent guy the same thing he said to the 5-talent guy. Well done. You see, God does not measure how much. He measures faithfulness. And both of these men were blessed because of it. Oh, yeah. We have the third one, don't we? The third guy. He just got 1. All right? I mean, if he'd gone out and blown it on a bad investment or something, you know, 1 talent. This guy's got a lot. But when that guy stepped up and answered to the master, which you and I will as well, by the way, and he said, Master, I know you're a hard person. I know you reap where you don't sow. You're a tough guy to work for. And so that I didn't lose it, I guess it was his mentality, I just went out and dug a hole and buried it. And here it is. The master lost nothing in this. But do you see what happened to him? That wicked one was cast out into outer darkness. What that is the farthest reaches possible from the master. Are we picking up on this? God is very aware and concerned about what we do with his resources. And in this context, money is one of them. Let me pull out some truths from this further. Everything belongs to God. He is sovereign over his creation. It's not yours, it's his. And you and I are made stewards, not owners. I don't care what the deed says, or I don't care what the bank account says, or whatever, folks. If you're a follower of Christ, that possession is not yours. If it's yours, you can take it with you when you die. But back to the U-Haul and the hearse. You see? Another truth from this teaching. Faithfulness matters, amount doesn't. Faithfulness matters, amount doesn't. God looks at faithfulness. He's not concerned about amounts. And a final truth, every believer will give an account to God for what God has given him or her and how they use those resources. There's something called the judgment seat of Christ. And at the judgment seat of Christ, reserved only for believers, we will stand before him and our works will be judged. And if they have been done for God's glory, and his glory alone, we will receive a reward. Oh, I want to put a lot at his feet. Do you? And by the way, the only thing that's going to heaven is praise that we're doing now is praise and people. That's the only thing that's going to heaven. Praise and people. So this morning, we close. Are you rich or poor this morning? I hope you paid enough attention to answer that question. Are you a faithful servant or an unfaithful servant? Are you self-focused and self-absorbed, a hoarder of money? Or has everything that you have and own and hope to have already thrown down at the Master's feet? God knows. And He is going to respond to you and me according to how we have lived our lives in this area of money and investments. God smiles on the poor in spirit, but He resists the proud. People that are made proud because of what they've done, what they've accomplished, what they have made of themselves. So this morning, are you a rich person? Or are you a truly rich person? That's the question. Let's pray. Father, we're troubled by passages like this. One, because we see a reflection that we don't like. And two, because we don't have the courage to change it. But Father, I pray that this morning, every follower of Jesus Christ, every person that you gave your Son to die for on the cross, every person who you have promised the abundant life and eternal life, I pray we would do an inventory this morning about this thing of money and possessions and wealth. I pray that you would change our attitude. Oh, Father, if this life was all that there is, why wouldn't we go for it? Get all we can. But, Father, there is a life after this life. Father, you're going to say one of two things to every person. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest of the Lord. Or you're going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. There will be no rich person in heaven, Father. But oh, I pray that we would have the courage to be a truly rich person this morning. A truly rich person according to the commodities of heaven and for your glory. In Jesus' name.